Okay, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Inna alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina may yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa may yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluh sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Arsalahu bil haqqi bashiran wa nadhiran bayna yaday sa'a may yuti illahu rasuluh faqad rashad. Ma ya'sihima fa innahu la yadurru ila nafsuhu wa la yadurru Allah shay'a amma ba'd fa inna astaqal hadith kitabullah wa khayra hadi hadi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sharrul umuri muhtatatuha wa kullu muhtatatin bid'ah wa kullu bid'atin dalalah wa kullu dalalatin finnar wa ba'd. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And we start, as we should start any Islamic lecture, by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we send peace and blessings upon his final messenger Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Quraysh sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want to thank the brothers for inviting me today to give this talk. And it's more than a talk, it's actually nasiha, it's advice. It's advice that I will take myself. And the brothers, they selected and chose the topic, the purpose of fasting. And they also wanted me to speak about some of the benefits of the month of Ramadan. And in some ways it's like a reminder for each and every one of us. Is to remind us, yes? I mean, we've seen many Ramadan come and go, yes? And many of us have been fasting for many years now, yes? Maybe 5, 6 years. Some fast many years, you know? Subhanallah, I won't even count, you know? But the thing about Ramadan is, we need reminding. Because Ramadan comes how many times a year? Once. Anyone found it twice? No, just once, yes? So we find it once a year, and it's the same time in the year. After Sha'ban and before Shawwal. It's the same time. And there's certain things that we only do in the month of Ramadan. We don't do it in the other times of the year. And that's why we remind ourselves about the virtues of the month of Ramadan and the things that we should do. Because there's lots of ahkam, lots of rulings to do with the month of Ramadan as well. So, the importance of Ramadan, to talk about the importance of Ramadan, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Bunya al-Islamu ala khams. He said, Islam is built upon five. If ever you were going to speak about Islam, and if ever you were to give dawah, invite people to al-Islam, the things that you should concentrate upon are the things that make Islam, yes? So when the Prophet ﷺ said, Bunya al-Islamu ala khams, Islam is built upon five, the Rasul ﷺ didn't make it very difficult for us. He said the first thing, which I'm sure you will know, shahada, and la ilaha illallah. What is that? What does that mean to you, brothers? Tawheed, have you heard the word tawheed? When you do your salah, mashallah, the youngest person here says yes, mashallah. It is to testify that then whether you worship Allah and that Muhammad is a messenger. This is what makes somebody a Muslim. That's the first thing that someone has to do to become Muslim. So the Rasul ﷺ said, this is from amongst the pillar of Islam. What after that? What is the second obligation? The second pillar of Islam once you become Muslim. Wa ikumus salah. It is to pray, yes? Wa ita is zakah, to give zakah. That's if you're wealthy enough. Sawmi Ramadan. Fasting in the month of Ramadan. Wa hajj al bayt. Hajj al bayt means to go hajj. The bayt. Bayt means what? House. But house of who? Allah. Bayt Allah. Okay, inshallah. So these are the things that makes somebody Muslim. The fact that they testify to worshipping Allah. Following the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That they pray. That they give zakah, that they fast, and that they do hajj. But look to these five pillars. These five pillars are quite different. The shahada, how many times a day do you affirm your shahada? How many times a day do you say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? Do you say it at all during the day? When do you say this? You say it most of the time in your salah. At-tahiyyatu. You know, this is an affirmation of your faith. So the minimum times you're going to say this is how many times in the day? Just pick all the fard salah. Five times in the day, but within the salah, see in fajr you do it once, yes? In dhuhr, how many times do you do tashahud? Twice. Okay, asr? Twice. Maghrib? And isha? So in the whole day, if all you were to do was to pray the fard, then you would do the tashahud up to 9 times. But obviously we don't do just the fard, we do the sunnah as well, yes. So this is something we do daily. So we don't need reminding of this, yes? Because what? We do it daily, and we know we're Muslims, and we know what La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah means. So we don't need reminding of this. Just like the salah, you don't need reminding because you're told to pray how many times a day?
Five times,
mashallah. But that's daily, isn't it? It's not like when you feel like it or so on. No, it's daily you're praying this. So with these issues, we know this clearly. But when it comes to things like zakah, and a lot of you are not eligible to even pay zakah now. Zakah is something you pay if you have a lot of money. And you have it sitting there. But Ramadan, I'm sure, is something that every one of you participate in. Every one of you fast, and so on. But like I said, it comes once a year, so you need to be reminded about what Ramadan is all about. And so that you can get what? The most out of Ramadan. And then Hajj. Hajj is something that's only once in a lifetime. It's not like our uncles, mashallah, we hear every year, they're going, every year, some uncles have done it 20 times, yes? It's not like this. Once in your lifetime, if you do this, halas, you fulfill the obligation. So you can see the importance of this fasting in the month of Ramadan, because the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you want to be a Muslim, then it's from amongst the pillars of being Muslim. But who should fast, really? Who should fast? The Muslim who is mature. And maturity is what in Islam? When do we consider someone mature in Islam? 21? 25? 29? No. It's when you start to lose your voice and you get some hair on your face and so on. Reaching puberty. So that can be 12. That could be 15. So you're a man in Islam. And you should be treated like a man from that age. See, in this society, they make you babies until, what, 21, don't they? You know, the people who buy the most of the Xbox games and the PS3 games are who? Not children like you. You can't even afford the games. They're about £50 a go, yes? It's the adults that buy this. So, we can see that Ramadan is something, and looking at all of you, it affects each and every one of you because you're eligible, or near that age where you're eligible to fast the month of Ramadan. So the question now, and the question we have to ask ourselves is, what is the purpose behind fasting? I mean, we know what fasting is. Fasting is to abstain from what? What do we abstain from? What we're not having at the moment? Food or drink, yes? Okay, who's hungry here? Hands up. Little bit? Who had their suhoor? Or who didn't have the suhoor? Who didn't have suhoor? I mean, get up in the night and have something to eat. Okay, so are you a bit hungry? Oh, mashallah, it's very good. But is the purpose of fasting for us, for example, my brothers, is that we just stay away from food so we get hungry, or we stay away from drink so we get thirsty? Is that the purpose? I mean, you're fasting now at the moment, so what do you think it is? Is it that reason, or could it be more than that? Mashallah. Obviously, the youngsters here are very vocal, mashallah. I want all of you brothers, even with the grey hair here and there. Oh, I'm the only one with grey hair. Okay, anyone here, inshallah. Okay? No, Allah, He tells us the purpose behind fasting. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمَ السِّيَامِ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Brothers, no, mashallah, they've studied before. I'll translate, inshallah ta'ala. Allah says, oh, you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you, just like the people before. Now, who are the people before us? Were just the world always Muslims, or were there people before us? Mashallah. So the people who claim to follow Isa alayhi salam, they are who? What do they call themselves? Christian, mashallah, yes. And the people who follow Musa alayhi salam, mashallah, see. So the Jews and the Christian, Allah is telling you that I make something farther upon you. I make you fast, but I'm doing something that I made farther upon the people before. That's why, I don't know if you have Jewish or Christian friends here nowadays, because mashallah, many Muslims in this borough, yes? But if you did have any, and you were to speak about their religion, they would be telling you that they do what? They fast as well. In fact, my local corner shop is run by Hindus. And they're very friendly. Do you have a shop like this? Hindu. But they're very friendly towards Muslims, you know? Yeah, they're very friendly towards you, okay? So, Muslims, they don't ask me, when is the month of Ramadan going to start and so on, you know? They don't ask me these things. But he goes, is it going to be Friday or is it going to be Saturday? And he has an accent, but I didn't do it too well. Is it going to be Friday or Saturday? I said, I don't know. It's to do with the sighting of the moon. So when we started fasting, which we fasted from Saturday, I saw him and I said, we started fasting. He said, very good, very good. He said, very good. He speaks like that. He says, very good. I said, what about you? Don't you fast? He goes, oh, no, I'm Hindu, sir. I said, I know you're Hindu, but do you have anything called fasting in your religion? So he says, yes, we fast for a month as well. This is what he said. I said, okay. So do you fast? He said, no, sir. I don't fast because I'm working. Now, don't try this. That's a Hindu speaking. And they follow their own desire, okay? But for us, it's not like this. We're told that it's prescribed for us, so we should do this. Just like the people before. And that's why you find, for example, the Jews and the Christians, those who practice the religion, they're quite strict when it comes to these things. And then they have their days of fasting and so on. Sorry, say that? Okay, shut up. So, Allah says, I made something upon you that I gave the people before, and the purpose is not, my dear Muslims, to say to have hunger and thirst. It's not for these reasons, no. Allah said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you can have what? Taqwa. All of you heard of this word taqwa before, I presume. Who hasn't? Because I need to explain to you, mashallah. But you seem to answer most of the questions already. But anyway, I'll explain. Taqwa. Okay, the brothers who know, what do you think taqwa means? Come on, the youngsters want to know. Okay. Taqwa. Is it like piety? Is that one of the ways to say
it?
That's what I'm saying. It's got a lot of meanings to it. So we need to define it. Because Allah says He made fasting for us so that we can attain taqwa. Now we need to have the right meaning, yes? We need to have the right meaning so that we understand what Allah means by taqwa in this verse. So piety means what? To be good. To be caring. Yes? But taqwa also means to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa also means to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do we mean by being conscious of Allah? How many of us actually call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How many of us sometimes feel like, oh, subhanallah, like this? You know, like subhanallah, you glorify Allah. How many of us actually do this? Or are we too busy with our ways? Are we too busy with the dunya not to even think that Allah is around us, watching us, or so we can be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because Allah is saying, fasting is one way of drawing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fasting is one way to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fasting is one way to draw attention and be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So where does the taqwa start from? The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, at-taqwa hahuna. He patted his chest, the qalb. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the fear of Allah starts in the heart first. See, the heart is like a vessel. You fill it with things, yes? Who loves their mum? Yes. See, who is the youngsters, mashallah? I love my mum. Okay. Who loves their dad? Yes. You all do, even if you don't get on sometimes, but truly you love your dad. When he's a bit older, and you get a bit older, you find that you become closer. You find that. Inshallah. Trust me, this is one of the things you find. But you see, the heart is like a vessel. You love your mum, there's a piece of your love for your mum in the heart. Love your dad, piece of love of your dad in the heart. It's like, and it fills up. Fills up. So you love, for example, to study. Oh, science and that is in there. You love Manchester United. There's a piece of Manchester United in there. Or Arsenal. Any Arsenal fans here? No. Just fun. Okay, he's got a big heart for Arsenal, okay? Okay, anyone Spurs? No? Okay, no. Okay, anyway, inshallah. See, the heart is like this. It fills up. But what part of that heart, where is that portion where you should be thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You may not do this because you're too preoccupied with loving the other things that have fueled your heart. Can you see? Like chicken and chips. Yes? Pepsi or Coca-Cola. Or if you're in Arab country, they say Pepsi. My kids, we just come back from Arab country. And even now, it's been a month since we come back, Pepsi. Okay? My four-year-old daughter, Pepsi. I want Pepsi, okay? But can you see? These are the things that you're preoccupied with. Food and drink. But Allah said, no, when you fast, you don't think about the food. You don't think about the drink. You have more time to think about too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You truly are freed up. You're truly freed up to think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the ways you attain this taqwa is firstly to realize what Allah is expecting from you. So let's look at an example. Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. You all heard of Umar, I presume, yes? Yes, you all heard of Umar, the youngsters? You've heard of Umar. Do you know who Umar is? He was one of the great friends of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the great companions. But the thing about Umar is he's so knowledgeable. He knows about so many things. Especially when it comes to Al-Islam. the deen of Islam. And the way he used to practice is not like us, or like some people you see in a relaxed manner. The Rasul ﷺ said about him, أَشَدُّهُمْ فِي أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. He's the harshest when it comes to practicing the law of Allah. He's really harsh on the people, you know. I'll give you an example. Smoking. What is smoking? What do you believe smoking is? Allowed or not allowed?
Allowed.
Okay, somebody, that's okay. Okay. Some people say it's allowed, which means mubah, permissible, and some say not allowed, yes? Okay. These are the two opinions that there are. Some people say it's allowed. Some say there's no problem. Mubah means there's no problem, no sin. Some people say in between is makruh. Makruh means what? Disliked. Means something you shouldn't do. But if you do, you're not going to get no sin. And then some people say haram. And I think majority of you believe it's haram. Okay? Okay? Because you've got pink lips. So I presume you don't smoke. But look, there's a difference of opinion, yes? Some people say haram. Some people say allowed. Now, Omar, which one would you pick? Allowed or not allowed? Come on. Not allowed, because he is what? Ashadduhim fi amrillah. He is the most harshest when he comes. If Islam says this and Islam says this, he picks the harshest option all the time. Okay? So he is the one who fears Allah the most, does he not? See, the man who smokes thinking it's allowed and he has some doubts, he's not doing justice, whereas the one who's not too sure but he thinks, look, if I stay away from this, I may be stopping some punishment, he's taking the better option. But even Omar, look, he knows so much about Islam, he speaks to somebody else. He speaks to another companion called Ubay bin Ka'b. Now, if you're not familiar with these names, go home and type it in Google and you'll find some information on them. You know, like we type in about football teams and sports stars and so. Type in like this and you see, mashallah, Islam dominates the internet now. You'll find so much information. Ubay bin Ka'b. What is the special quality about Ubay? Radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aqrahum Ubay. The one who recites the Quran the best from amongst my companions is Ubay, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Omar one day he comes across Ubay and he says to Ubay, Ya Ubay, ma ma'na taqwa? What is the meaning of taqwa? Now who's asking this? Omar, who knows so much about Islam. So Ubay, who is under the charge of Omar, Omar is a leader, Amirul Mu'mineen. Ubay, he said, Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, taqwa is, have you ever walked on a path and you come across a bush and this bush has thorns? Say the exit from here had bush with thorns. How would you walk out? Would you just rush out? Without to look? Pay no attention? Speak on your phone? No. You be careful, yes? Because what can the thorns do to you? It could prick you, yes? Cut you? Make you bleed, yes? It can hurt you, yes? So Ubay is saying to Omar, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what would you do if you came across a path where there is so many thorns? What would you do? Omar, he said, I would tread carefully. And Omar, he said, I would pick up my thobe. Why? Because you may take careful steps, but your clothing may get caught, drag you back. So when Omar gave this description, Ubay, he said what? He said, that is taqwa. That is taqwa, to know how to do a thing carefully so that you don't get harmed. So when we're talking about taqwa, when we're talking about fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to know what are the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to stay away from this. He's not God-fearing the one who drinks alcohol. No. He is not God-fearing the one who takes what? Drugs. No. He is not God-fearing the one who listens to music. Though there is an argument about this as well. Music halal or haram? No one said halal? Okay. Maybe Q&A will discuss this more, inshallah ta'ala. See, there is not taqwa to have these sort of qualities. Because why? Allah set you limits on certain things. Don't go past this. And that is how you tread carefully. To have boyfriend and girlfriend, taqwa? No. Because you're not supposed to have this. How can you say you fear Allah when you do that which Allah says is not allowed? This is what taqwa is. It's an Arabic word, but for us, very easy to understand. You see something naughty on the TV, what do you do? Watch 5 seconds or turn it over? Watch 5 seconds, that remote is stuck. No, it's not stuck, it's you stuck. Push, you'll go. Can you see? This is what it means to fear Allah. So this is the purpose behind fasting, is to have this fear. And even to the point to be aware of Allah all the time. Who walks around in the house naked? Anyone? Many of the kuffar they do. Many of the non-Muslims they do. Astaghfirullah. And they don't even have curtains sometimes, you know. This is ajib. Yeah? This is what happens when you live amongst the people. If you don't have a certain barrier, if you don't have something to stop you, then you will be like those people. But even in Islam, Islam says you don't walk around in the house naked, even if you are alone. For what reason? The man, he said to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, I'm on my own. Nobody can see me. I don't even have windows. So nobody can see me. Surely I'm allowed to walk alone in my house naked. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, maybe the people don't see you. But shouldn't he be more shy from who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should be more shy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sees you all the time. Al-Khabir, the one who is always aware. You may not be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah is always aware of what you're doing. You may be doing good, alhamdulillah. You want the people to see you do good, alhamdulillah. Okay, Allah writes that down good. But don't think Allah turns a blind eye when you're doing something haram. When you're involved in something haram. Whether it be stealing, whether it be fighting, taking drugs, drinking alcohol. Don't think Allah turns a blind eye. No. Allah is aware of you even at that time too. Can you see what it means to have this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah says, we gave you fasting so that you will have this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if anyone ever asks you what is the purpose behind fasting, we don't say, for example, we have sympathy with the people in Africa. Or, for example, the famine in Ethiopia. You know, Africa used to be one of the richest continents in the world. It still is very rich. There was no famine in the time of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're very rich people there. They used to feed the poor in the Middle East, whenever there was famine in the Middle East. So no, we're not fasting because we feel sorry for those people. And that's not what Allah said, you fast because of the poor people or the people in famine in those areas. We're not fasting also because we want to feel what it feels to be poor. No. Because the people who usually fast the most in the time of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were those who were rich. They used to fast. So it was nothing to do with the fact that you feel poor. And it's nothing to do with detox. Anyone heard of this word detox? People, they stay away from certain things for a few weeks or so on. I'm detoxing. I'm not going to have any coke, detox. I'm not going to have any chicken and chips, detox, yes? The Sahaba, they never suffered from this because they never used to eat as much as we do. They never used to eat as much as we do, whether in Ramadan or outside Ramadan. Who's noticed their belly getting a little bit bigger during Ramadan? It's unfortunate, yes? You don't eat for so long, but when iftar comes, what happens? What will you have? Samosa, the rice, what else? Pakora, yeah? Some mitai, everything is... Do you normally eat that much? You never eat that much. Your mom and dad, they can't force feed you during the rest of the year to eat that much. But come iftar, subhanallah, the horse, I'll have the horse too. Can you see what happened? The Sahaba, they never had this. They used to, when they fast, they knew the purpose behind this. And they weren't going to blow it as soon as iftar came. They weren't going to blow it and order all of this food. They would sometimes have a few dates and some milk and some soup, khalas. But we don't do that. We don't do that. So, we are not detoxing in any way. Not when you walk, pollute your body again at the end of the day again. Subhanallah. I spoke to one young brother like you, I teach hifs. And he was doing the hifs, he couldn't concentrate. And I was saying, what is the matter with you today? He goes, I'm very hungry. I said, don't think about food. If you're hungry, the last thing you do is think about food, yes? I said, don't think about food. He said, yeah, Ustad, I can't stop thinking about it. I said, what is the matter? He goes, in my drawer, I've got a chocolate bar there waiting for me. He says, all I can think about is that chocolate. And on the way to my house, I'm going to buy some frozen baguettes, which I'm going to put in the oven. And every Ramadan, I have baguettes. He started talking about, before you know it, everyone is talking about food. It took me 5-10 minutes to calm everyone down to start reading again. One person, because he's thinking about his chocolate. So really, you're not detoxing yourself in any way. So we can see Ramadan is not about really just staying away from food and drink and then to stuff yourself at the end of the day of fasting. No, it's not for that. It's so that we can have time free, like we have today, mashallah, to think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to learn about our deen so that we can do what? Tread carefully when we walk. Tread carefully when we practice our deen. Live our life. This is what we should be doing, mashallah. Also, Ramadan is a month, not just of fasting, it's a month of, what is it famous for? Forgiveness, yes? What else? What do you hear a lot during the month of Ramadan?
Recitation,
mashallah. It is the month of Quran. It is a month of Quran. Not month of nasheed. No, Allah didn't reveal nasheed so that you can use your time. No, no, Ramadan is not for nasheed or halal hip-hop. Who likes halal hip-hop? No. Does it look any different from the other hip-hop? No, not really much. No, it's a month of Quran. Okay, if you like to listen to anything in the month of Ramadan, especially, it should be Quran. This is what you should be listening to. And Allah, He speaks about this specific in a verse. He said, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهُ الْقُرْآنِ هُدَى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيْنَةِ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمَ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَسُومُهُ. In Ramadan, we reveal this book, the book of Quran. For what purpose? So that it can be recited at 100 miles per hour in Taraweeh and you don't listen to a word of this? And you think, mashallah, that mosque does Taraweeh what, in 2 hours, this mosque 1 hour, I'll go to the one in 1 hour. And I've heard the whole Quran. No, it's not for that reason. To recite it at 100 miles per hour to the point you can't hear the words anymore, it becomes a drone. Zzz. No, it's not for that reason. Allah didn't reveal the Quran for that purpose. Allah, He tells us to, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبْرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Will you not comprehend the Quran? Listen to the Quran. Think about the Quran. This is what Allah, He wants us to do. Because if you understand the Quran, if you understand what Allah is saying to us, because the Quran is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you understand the meaning, then what will you gain from this? As the verse says, guidance. And the Quran explains how you are guided. And you will have what? Furqan. Criterion. How is it that we know, for example, stealing is haram? Does anyone think stealing is halal here? Haram, yes. No, no, the gangster over there thinks it might be, but no, it's not allowed. Okay. But what I'm saying, how do we know all of these things? Like alcohol is haram, drugs are haram, stealing is haram. How do we know all these things? To dress like women, boys dressing like women and women dressing like men, haram. How do we know about these things? Allah and His Messenger tells us about these things, you see? But you'll only know this if you want to listen and understand what is being said. Not if it's being pushed towards you, that you don't like the Quran, and rushed in a manner that you're not even comprehending what is being said. Even if you don't know Arabic, yes? If you hear the word shaitan when it's been recited, do you understand what shaitan means? If you hear halal and haram, do you understand what that means? Salah, zakah, malaika, jinn. You understand what this means, Rasul? I'm sure you understand this means. But if the imam is reciting it so quick you don't understand, you're not even going to think for 1 second what is being said here. So, this is the month of Quran. Who's actually tried to read the Quran during the month of Quran? Is anyone actually, see the youth again, mashallah. Mashallah. Your youth as well, mashallah. Okay, are you following your juz by juz or are you just doing a part of it? Who's doing juz by juz, following your juz by juz? See, mashallah. See some of the youth. Juz by juz means one para by para para. Okay? What para are we on today? Do we know? Okay. Six. Okay, so just goes to show. We're going to be doing number six today. Okay, inshallah ta'ala. But what I'm saying, this is a month of Quran. Not only should you be listening to it, you should be reading it. You should be reading it. And if you can't read it, then what should you do? You should get help to teach you to read this. Look to the example of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khayra khalqi means the best of creation. Uswatun hasana means he's our example to follow. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, every Ramadan, I recite the Quran to who? His teacher. Who is the teacher of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah, but who did Allah send as the teacher for? Jibreel alayhi salam. Amin al-Wahi, the one who's trustworthy. See, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every Ramadan, he used to recite the Quran back to who? The one who used to bring it to him, his teacher, Jibreel alayhi salam, Gabriel as they say. See, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa used to lead it in salah, but he would recite to his teacher. He would read the book of Allah. And this is what we should do as well. We should not be content that we just go to the masajid and we listen to the Quran, the huffaz, the imams leading a salah, and we say, that is enough, alhamdulillah. Because there are a lot of people, they think if they just listen to the Quran, they finish the khatam. Yes, there is the reward for this, but the real khatam is when you recite it yourself. The real completion of the Quran is when you recite it yourself. And do you know how much reward you get? SubhanAllah, I wouldn't even calculate it. The reward you get is so much reciting the Quran yourself. The Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the one of you, when you recite Alif Lam Mim, you will get reward for reciting the Quran. But don't think that the reward is that you say Alif Lam Mim and you get one reward. No. Alif, when you say Alif, you get 10 reward. When you say Lam, you get another 10 reward. And when you say Mim, you get another 10 reward. How many reward in total? 30. For what? Saying what? Alif Lam Mim. So just, that's 3 letters from the Quran. Imagine when you recite it, juz after juz after juz. Para after para after para. Imagine this. Now, the problem we have is that when we don't see the fruits of our effort, when we don't see something come back straight away, people, they become lazy. See, when I say to you, Jazakallah khair, may Allah reward you. Or I say, may Allah give you hasanat, may Allah give you reward. You say, yes, mashallah. And you say, Ameen, or Barakallah fiqh. You will say something like that. But really, you don't really appreciate it because I have asked Allah to give you something good. Rather than give something out of my pocket to you that you can see now, I've asked Allah to give you something good, but you're not going to see it now. When are you going to see this? Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the hereafter, when you rise again. So you're going to see all of this then. But the thing is, you don't appreciate it at this moment. So that's why the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to explain that when you read the Quran, don't think you're just getting a small amount of reward. No. You're getting so much reward. And don't think that because I can't read, or I don't know tajweed, or I don't know how to read Arabic well. No, no. The reward for the one who recites is so much. But the one who doesn't know and he tries, he gets double the reward of the one who knows how to recite. Say SubhanAllah. Can you see? Ad-din yusr means ease. Allah says, La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah, He doesn't burden a soul more than He can take. So Allah didn't burden you, all of you, to become hafiz of the Quran or to become amongst the ulama. No, Allah didn't burden you to do this. Islam is so simple. But Allah asks you to do according to your capability. If you think you can't recite Quran, just think, why is it that I cannot recite the Quran? Especially in this month of Ramadan. I have so much free time. I don't need to eat. I don't need to drink. I shouldn't even be listening to music. No? Which usually takes a lot of people's time. All of these things. Just think, it is only yourself that is stopping you. If you put that much effort into wanting to learn the Quran, Allah will make it easy for you. I guarantee you this. That if you put the effort into it, Allah will make it easy for you. And that's why, mashallah, a lot of the masajids here, I'm sure they do dars now, your lessons, how to read the Quran and so on. Are they doing this? I'm sure. Not just how to recite the Quran, they are telling you what the meaning of the Quran and so on is. So we're finding all of this, inshallah. So it is a month of Quran. And in fact, that is where the hasanat starts from. The reward for Ramadan, for each and every one of you, starts from the Taraweeh. You know, when you first found out about Ramadan, what was the first thing that you did? When you first found out it was Ramadan, you was in the mosque maybe, or somebody texted you, yes? You had to prepare for what? Not fasting, what did you have to do? What's the first thing that you do in the month of Ramadan? Taraweeh. See? See, the reward for you starts in the month of Ramadan from the Taraweeh. Not from the fact that you stop eating or drinking. No, that's in the daytime. But for you, is the fact that you will do Taraweeh. And that's why the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Man qama Ramadan imanan wahtasiban gufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi. The Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the one who stands in Qiyam, yes? Min Taraweeh, yes? Because you don't normally stand for so long. 2 hours you're standing, aren't you, sometimes, yes? The one who stands in the month of Ramadan and he has iman, mean full faith, and he hopes for a reward, Allah will forgive him of all his past sins. Say SubhanAllah. So we don't appreciate when we're told that all our sins are going to be forgiven. Obviously, as long as it's not the big sins. See, the son of Adam, he's sinning day and night. He's sinning day and night. He doesn't know what he's done. But Allah, He's saying, those minor sins of yours, if you stand up just for Taraweeh, what will happen? All your past sins forgiven, SubhanAllah. Just because you go to Taraweeh. And is Taraweeh fard, sunnah, nafilah? What is Taraweeh? What is the status of Taraweeh? Who thinks it's fard here? No. So you all know it's what? Nafila, yes? What does nafila mean in Islam? It means if you want to do some tarawih, what will happen? Will you be in sin? Maybe your mom and dad tell you off, but no, in the eyes of Allah, you're not in sin. In the eyes of Allah, you're not in sin. But the fact that you went there, you're rewarded huge amount. And Allah, He loves this. Because Allah, He says, my servant, he draws close to me by doing all the fard. But he comes even closer to me, when he does the nafila. So, as soon as you start doing the tarawih, and how many rakat is tarawih, my brothers? Who likes to do 8? Yeah, is that because you're tired, or you think 8 is the correct amount? Tired, or because you liked? You think that's the correct amount? Tired, yes. Yeah, normally the people who leave at 8 is because they're tired more than the fact they believe it's the correct way. Even if the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prayed 8 rakat, it is longer than those 20 rakat we pray today. Okay? This is the salah of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So 8 rakat is not just to make it short. No. So, your reward starts from that point. Alhamdulillah. Your reward, because we're talking about some of the benefits of Ramadan, your reward continues. Doesn't finish in the night. What should you do after tarawih? Stay up all the way, or what should you try to do? Sleep a little bit. You actually get reward for sleeping a little bit. But if you don't, alhamdulillah, do some more salah, do something good. And then what should you do? You should have the suhoor. The suhoor is something that you should have. The suhoor is the what? The night meal. Now many of us, what do? After tarawih, we have a meal and we go to sleep and then we wake up for fajr. You know, you're already lost in some of the reward. You've lost in some of the reward. You've missed out on something. If somebody was paying you for having suhoor, that time you didn't get up, you don't get paid for that. Okay? You don't get paid for it. So you've lost out. So a lot of you that don't stay up for suhoor, and the suhoor is the time before fajr, just before fajr. It's not just past midnight or anything like that. No. And how was it in the time of the companions? There used to be 2 adhan at fajr. In the time of the companions, time of the Rasul, there used to be 2 adhan. So people would know to get up. So the first adhan is so that the people can get up. It's in the night. And this one was given by who? Do you know which companion? Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. Yes. And the second adhan was given a bit later to say that khalas, cannot eat anymore. Fajr has entered. Who used to give this adhan? Abdullah ibn Makhtum. He used to be a blind companion. He was blind. So he never used to give the first one because he can't see at all. Yes? He can't see what is out there. Bilal used to give the first adhan so the people would get up. So they know they have to get up. And then they would have what? Sahur. Because the Rasulullah said, have your sahur, because verily in the sahur is what? Barakah. What is barakah? Blessing, yes? How much blessing? Show me how much. We don't know, do we? MashaAllah. That's very good. Whoa, huge, huge, huge. We don't really know because we can't weigh the barakah or anything like this. No. But the Rasulullah said, have it, because verily it has what? Barakah. What is the barakah? You're going to know Yawmul Qiyamah. You're going to know on the day of judgment when you need as much barakah and as you can get. That is when you're going to be told. So for us is that we, after tarawih, is that we go to sleep, or even if we don't go to sleep, is at least we stay up all the way to fajr so that we can have what? Just before fajr, the sahur. There's barakah in this. And the Rasulullah said, even if you're not hungry, you should have what? Some water. If not some water, what? A date. You should have something at least. So that is where the means of you getting the barakah, the means of you gaining something in that time. So we're continuing about the benefits of Ramadan, inshallah. And also the issue is that the suhoor is also part of your niyyah, is your intention. What do you do to tell Allah you're going to fast? What do you do to tell Allah you're going to fast Ramadan? You know, the Rasulullah said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. Every action is by intention. What do? You pray, but is that tell Allah you're going to fast? No. You have to have something that gives you niyyah. Either you say in your heart you're going to fast, or you have intention to wake up for sahur, because nobody wakes up for sahur except for what? To fast. This is the intention. This shows you the intention you're making. So Allah is aware of this, okay? Let's talk about what we do when we are fasting. The benefits of what we do. See, when we're fasting, we say we don't eat, we don't drink. Anyone married here? Okay, we stay away from our wives, even though our wives are halal. During the daylight hours, you stay away. In the night, you're allowed to do what you want. Daylight hours, your wife is halal to you, but you must stay away. At that time, it becomes haram. All of these things, yes? Because you want to do what? Please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what about the one who likes to swear? F this, S this, B this. I'm sure there's a lot of other letters, but yeah, what about the one who likes to swear? It's very difficult, isn't it? If all you hear, all you do is you speak it, and you know they say you speak it big, is it? Is it bigger when you speak like this, yeah? Is it bigger when you speak with the F word and so on? See, what happens if you speak like this all the time? Come Ramadan, you got to be careful now, yes? Because you can't speak like this. You shouldn't speak like this throughout the year anyway. To curse and swear at Muslims, sibabul Muslim fusuk, is something that you shouldn't be doing anyway. But come Ramadan, you've got to stop. See Ramadan, okay? What about the one, like I said, likes to listen to music? Ajib. Alhamdulillah, I think in the area it's calmed down now, yes? Summer was getting to be too much, headache, music everywhere. It's all Tupac and R. Kelly, such old stuff, come on. But look, again, should be staying away from this. Month of Ramadan, fighting as well. Getting angry. We've got too much testosterone, as they say, too much hormones in us. We're going through that change. We're becoming butch, yeah? SubhanAllah, the amount of people that go to the gyms now, yes? Crazy. Who goes gym here? Not me. Who goes to the gym? Anyone? Okay, mashallah, you're shy. But yes, it's good if you want to vent something, yes? But in the month of Ramadan, you've got to be very calm. And you're not likely to go to the gym anyway because you haven't got the strength. So what do? You stay away from the fighting, you stay away from this. And if anyone even wants to fight, the Rasulullah ﷺ said, say, inni saim, say I'm fasting. So normally when somebody wants to fight you, you've got to stand up, yes? But in the month of Ramadan, you say, look, I'm fasting. I ain't no time for any of this. Because the Rasulullah ﷺ said, Allah is not need of the one who leaves his food, leaves his drinking, if what he's going to do is do bad actions. He's going to use bad words. See, you ruin your Ramadan, you ruin your fasting by doing this. Allah is not need of this. This is what the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying. So what is Ramadan about? What is fasting about? Let's conclude so we can have a bit of time for Q&A, inshallah ta'ala. I want to hear your voices a little bit, inshallah ta'ala. What is Ramadan about? Ramadan is all about seeking forgiveness. Nothing else. It is seeking forgiveness, and the forgiveness is what? When Allah forgives your sin. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ramadan ila Ramadan, mukaffirat ma baynahunna. One Ramadan to another Ramadan is the release of your sins. Now I know we live in a society where we think we're pure. And a lot of things that are bad are made good for us. No. Halal is what Allah says halal. Haram is what Allah says haram. If you've been doing the haram, then you've been sinning. If you've been doing the haram, then you've been sinning. And you need that to be taken away from you. Because you don't want to have those sins on Yawmul Qiyamah. Who loves their brother here? Mom and dad? Their wife? Their kids? You got kids? Yeah, you love them, yes? But you know on Yawmul Qiyamah when they come to you, what does Allah say about them? On Yawmul Qiyamah, when you're waiting to be judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says, Yawma yafurul maru min akhihi. Yawma yafurul maru min akhihi. Surah Abasa, yes? MashaAllah, you must have known this. Yeah? On that day, you'll be running away from your brother. Wa ummihi wa abihi. And your mother and your father. Wa sahibatihi wa banihi. Yeah? You're going to be running away from, firstly, your brother, your mom who gave birth to you, your dad who sowed the seed, the wife who you loved all your life once you got married, and the children which you bore, all of those people, Yawmul Qiyamah, what's going to happen? You're going to be running away from them. You know why? They're going to want hasanat from you. Good. Good deeds. But you on that day, you're going to be nafsi, nafsi, nafsi. Have you heard this before? Myself, me, myself, and I. And this is the way most, if not all of the people will be on Yawmul Qiyamah, because you cannot afford to give away one good deed because we believe in the mizan, the scale. We believe in the scale. And we don't know what deed is going to cause us to enter the Jannah and what bad deed will cause us to enter the hellfire. So that's why utilize the time. utilize this month of Ramadan, because the Rasulullah said, the one who witnesses Ramadan and he does not have his sins forgiven, he is what? Khasirun. He's amongst the losers. If you don't get Allah to forgive your sins in the month of Ramadan, you're a loser. So how can it be that if Ramadan is all about Allah forgiving your sin, you are somebody that you pile on your sin, you do the haram. You may not fast, you may not pray, you may deal in drugs, you may drink alcohol. How is it that you can do this when Ramadan is totally opposite? This is what Allah is telling you about. This is what the Messenger Muhammad ﷺ came and told us. So in conclusion, I want to say that, my dear brothers, this talk and this lecture was really nasihah, some advice, nothing more than this. It's something that I need to take myself. And I want each and every one of us to do what? Benefit from this month of Ramadan. Not be lazy when it comes to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, you may feel tired from no food, no drink. But Ramadan is not the month for us to be lazy. No, we're supposed to be stronger in ibadah, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ramadan is like training, tarbiyah. It's like training, yes? Ramadan, when you come to the month of Ramadan and you're fasting and your salah trains you for the rest of the year. You begin to create, get rid of the bad habits and create good habits. And that's what Ramadan is all about. So if you want to truly benefit the month of Ramadan, get involved in things. Get involved in worshipping. Get involved in studying. Get involved in what? Telling people about Islam. Doing dawah. Do all of these things, inshallah ta'ala, and you will benefit. I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a successful Ramadan. Gives us the tawfiq to see through the month of Ramadan. And gives us the tawfiq to see another Ramadan. وَقُولِ قَوْلِ هَذَا أَسْتَغْفِرْ لِي وَلَكُمْ